Well, and so it's come to this. I started the 60s doing stand-up in nightclubs and coffee houses. And now, at the end of my 60s, I'm introducing folk acts just as I did in The Unicorn in 1960 and 1961. I've come full circle and have learned a couple of things from those experiences. One is a good Unitarian word, which is chutzpah. I got into the comedy business because I was a doorman at a burlesque house. This is not usually on people's CVs who go on to become clergy. And during one of the breaks, I went to this coffee house, The Unicorn, and there was a comic who was the most extraordinarily unfunny person I had ever seen, who just thought that dirty words would get a laugh, which they do. They get giggles and they get people embarrassed. Well, they used to get giggles and get people embarrassed. And I went up, I was 16 years old, and I went up to the manager and said, "That comedian's terrible." And he asked what I think today was a rhetorical question. "Yeah, kid, you think you can do better?" And not being smart enough to realize that that was a rhetorical question, I gave it a beat and a half and said, "Yeah, I think so." He said, "So come back Thursday and audition." So I went home, I wrote 20 minutes, and went back. It was a birth experience. I'm standing there in the dark, not waiting in the wings because there were no wings. I'm waiting at the bar. My parents always thought I would be drawn to the bar, but they thought it would be the legal one, not the liquid one. I've been a continual disappointment. And I'm waiting, and then I'm announced, and I come up in the darkness, and the spotlight hits me, and it's from dark to light. It was a birth experience. I was warmed by the glow, energized by it, and too young and stupid to be scared. I had no stage fright. I couldn't see any of the audience at first because I had come from the dark. Now I have the light in my eyes, and they're sitting there. But as I spoke, they came into focus. And as I got the first little laughs, the first kind of light laughter, people reacting, I had built it so that the first part of the routine would have a, if not a punchline, a jab line that people would think was the punchline, then I would top it. And it worked. They roared with laughter, and the adrenaline, the love, the adoration, the denial, the delusions, all hit me and stayed with me for a very long time. And actually, I'll share that first joke with you, which because it still works. It still works in terms of at least the star of the joke, which is not me. I was talking about you can't just get up and make people laugh, because whatever you do, people will think that you're ripping off somebody else. If you carry a newspaper and sit on a stool, they'll think you're ripping off Mort Saul. Right? Onward. More about that later. If you try to carry on a conversation and act like a nervous accountant, you're ripping off Bob Newhart. If you tell jokes really fast, set up, punchline, you're doing Bob Hope. If you counterpunch your material, that was the stupidest joke I ever heard, you're ripping off Groucho Marx. You can't stand up. You can't sit down. God help the person that sits on a stool and tries to carry on a simple conversation. You of a certain age will recognize Shelley Berman. So you can't stand up. You can't sit down. You can't wear a sweater. You can't wear a suit. The only original thing to do is to show up nude, which is a bad career move. Now, if you talk dirty, you're compared to Lenny Bruce. Are you compared to Bob Hope? Compared to this? The only person I'm safe from being compared to is Bill Cosby. And that's because he's funny. That was the jab. That was the punch. And Bill Cosby is still funny. I was told by the manager that the light was not going to last forever, to enjoy it and to use it, but at some point, as it must to all, the light would flash, giving you a warning that it was about to be turned off. There was no physical hook, there was no gong, but as the opening act and the MC, it was time to get to the next act. All the folk acts also had the same thing. When the light flashed, it was one more song, wrap it up. And that is something for all of us to learn and to use. We don't know when the light's going to flash. We do know that this light, this beautiful light, does not last forever. And we know also something that I learned and has been with me, probably the most important lesson of that experience to this day, which was as the audience came into focus, I realized that I was not doing a routine. I was not just saying my words, that it was a relationship. I was watching them to see what worked, to see how long to pause, to know what direction to go. That performing was not something you did to an audience. It was a relationship you developed with people. And that has always informed how I've wanted to be in the world. I don't deliver sermons. That's like I'm taking the sermon and I'm delivering it to you. I talk with each of you. I try to be awake and alive to who's dozing, who's getting whiplash from nodding, who's hurting themselves by going like this, and who's looking at their watch, which is okay. No one's offended when you look at your watch. We're only offended when you shake it and say, is this damn thing still working? That's a whole theory of relativity. But to understand that as performers, and all the world's a stage and the people merely players, we are not separated from each other. Our interactions need eye contact, soul contact, generous listening and reacting, not simply waiting to how to form an argument back at someone, but to hear and to connect and to feel that buzz, that wonderful buzz that creates an inner light even when these lights start to blink. So with that, let me go back to my roots and introduce a folk act of our Haus band. That is L's here. Yeah, that could have been Dutch. Our Haus band with a wonderful folk set of songs that will be familiar to many of the songs will be familiar to many of us, but not all the songs to the same parts of the many of us, which is also true of every poem, every song, and every sermon. So without further ado, our house band.